Thank you, James. Wow. We are blessed. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Really good to see you today, and glad you're here, and glad you've come to worship. And if you're a guest today, thanks for being here, and trust that you have already been blessed. And now as we take a look into God's Word, that you will be blessed even more as we spend some time with Him. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for just being a part of what God is doing here at Covenant Church. We're glad to have all of you here today. Now, I don't want anybody to raise a hand, but maybe internally you can do this. If you have, if you will admit that maybe, just maybe, you have control issues, internally raise your hand. Okay, got it? Now let me just say this. If you just had the urge to raise the person's hand next to you, or if you thought about, man, I don't know why that person's not thinking about this, but they need to raise their hand and want to run across the auditorium, you know, then maybe you do have a few issues with control. I don't know if we'd call you a control freak, but you know, the fact of the matter is we all have issues with control. For some of us, if the idea that we can't be the one who's large and in charge, whoa, come on now, I need to be in charge of this. I need to be in control of all that's going on around me. It freaks us out a little bit when we're not the one in control. For some of us, we just want to know how it's going to work. We have to be in control of how it looks or how it feels or how it's thought about, and heaven help the person that gets in our way if we can't be the one that's kind of controlling all of that. For some, maybe it's being in the kitchen. You know, you're the controller of the kitchen, and man, nobody else better touch that stuff in the kitchen. Maybe for some it might be how the clothes are folded, or how they're put on the shelf, or how they go in the drawer. Am I hitting close to home? Maybe it might be how they hang in the closet. Color-coded or whatever that might be was probably my issue, Diana might say. For some, it's what the family wears in public. You're not going to wear that, are you? For some, it's being the grand keeper of the family schedule. And everything's got a certain moment, a certain time, a certain place that things have to happen. For some, it just comes naturally. And I don't know why this is, but for some, it's being a side seat or a back seat driver. I don't even see any heads nodding. Nobody's going to admit to that. And you know, that's really not fair unless you have one of these. Now, in case you can't read that small fine print, let me read that for you. This is to certify that the person herein named, by the way, you can print these off the internet, just saying, has passed all the tests for nervousness and has been licensed to irritate, annoy, criticize, and otherwise disturb the operator of the car. Maybe some of us need that. I don't know. But you know, here's the thing. This vicious cycle that we find ourselves in when it comes to control and controlling issues, here's how it goes. The more that we try to be in control, the more that we realize we don't have any control. And then we work harder to be in control. That's the vicious cycle that we get caught in. And the answer to all of this merry-go-round, isn't to be like Elsa and to let it go. The answer is to choose to surrender and let God be in control. You know, here's the crazy thing. Sometimes as Jesus followers, we think we ought to be insulated from this stuff. We think that this kind of thing, this control stuff, this, you know, what we talked about last week, you know, we ought to be able to do all this. This ought to be our thing. We shouldn't have to choose. It ought to just come easy to us. And somehow we think that choosing surrender or control, you know, we shouldn't have to do that as Jesus followers. Seems like it ought to just be an easy thing. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. First of all, though, I want to ask you to grab your bulletin or grab your Bible. And we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And we're going to read those words and those verses together. And that passage, I've told you this before, that passage is one of my favorites. It has been, and it continues to be, the guiding word for my relationship with Diana. We decided a long time ago, if we were going to do this thing called life together, that we needed a guiding word. We needed some direction in our life, in our relationship. And this one fit. It fit back then, and it continues to fit in our lives and for us today. So I want you to read these words with me from Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. So coming to that place of realization that we really can't do it all, or be in control of it all. And instead, knowing that God is in control, that's the key to submitting and surrendering our ways to Him. Surrender really is an issue of trust. Do we trust God more than we trust ourselves? Surrendering to God is allowing Him to act in our lives and on our behalf. And that's important because when we try to control things can go very wrong, very fast. Let me give you some examples from the Bible. We've all heard the story of Jonah, right? The Jonah and the whale, yeah. And what happened with Jonah? I mean, he wanted to control the situation himself. God said, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, no, that's not my deal. I don't want to do that, God. I want to control where I'm going to go. I know what you're going to do if I go there. So no, I don't want to do that. And we all know the outcome of that. The whale. The big fish. But Jonah's not alone. There are several examples in Scripture you could take and look at. There's another one in the New Testament in Acts chapter 10. Peter is convinced that this Jesus thing, can't be for the Gentiles. He's like, God, really? This isn't for the Gentile people. This is for us. This is for us as your people. This can't be for them. And God had to convince him otherwise. Peter wanted to be in control of that whole idea. Peter wanted to be in control of who heard the message of God and who heard about the grace of God. And then there's this great story. In fact, two of them in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 16, which are in your bulletin this morning. And I just want to really briefly take a look at these. And I'm going to use the words Abraham and Sarah, because Abram and however you say her name before it became Sarah, I don't really know how to say that, so I'm just going to say Sarah. It's way simpler. Okay? So Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 12 are on this journey, and they're traveling back to Egypt. And Joseph, in the middle of this travel, realizes the people of the leadership of Egypt, Pharaoh's people, are coming to greet them. Abraham looks at Sarah and says, you know, you're just absolutely gorgeous. You're beautiful. And you know what? If I tell them that you're my wife, if you tell them you're my wife, you know what they're going to do to me? They're going to kill me, and they're going to take you into Pharaoh's harem. So Abraham decides, hey, I'm going to take control of this situation. Sarah, here's what I want you to do. You tell Pharaoh's people that you're my sister. Then they'll spare my life. To save his own hide, he gives up his wife to Pharaoh. Really? But, you know, we do crazy things when we try to be in control, right? So then, a little bit later, in Genesis chapter 16, we see another incident. We know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God promised to Abraham and Sarah, that they would have a son. And that son would be really the father of the nation. I mean, that he would be the lineage of all the world would come through that child. All of God's children would come through that. Well, now, Abraham and Sarah, they're getting up in years, and, you know, they're getting that place where, you know what, Sarah's like, okay, this hadn't happened yet. So what's Sarah do? Sarah takes control. Sarah jumps in and says, hey, you know what, God, if you're not going to do your thing, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my maidservant, Hagar, to Abraham, and we could have a baby through her. And so that's what she decides to do, and that's what they do. They have a baby named Ishmael. Several years later, God decides the timing is right. And they have another child through Sarah this time, and his name is what? Isaac. There has been dissension between Ishmael's ancestors and offspring and Isaac's ancestors and offspring throughout history that continues in the Middle East even today. Which is a perfect lesson for you and for me to understand that if it's not our business to be in control, that maybe we shouldn't be in control. When we try to do things in our own wisdom, and when we try to do things in our own strength, and in our own time, and in our own way, it leads to chaos, it leads to confusion in our lives and in the lives of people around us. So the important thing for you and me to avoid that chaos and to avoid that confusion is to figure out how to counter the control issues that seem to seep so easily into our lives. Determine how we can choose, instead of to control, how we can choose to surrender to God and to the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. To do that, let me share a couple of questions for us to ponder this morning. First question is this: What does it mean to trust in the Lord? What's it mean to really trust in the Lord? Listen, one thing it's not choosing to let go of responsibility. It's not okay to be careless or lazy. Choosing to surrender and trust the Lord means that we have to be real with ourselves. We have to know that none of us can do everything. And not everything is our concern. There are some things that are important that we need to be involved in, but there are some things that are not. It's not our responsibility to run everybody else's life. It's not our responsibility to comment on everybody else's actions or posts on social media. It's important for us to know what really is our concern. Because if we try to micromanage everything that's around us, it'll drive us crazy. Not only will it drive us crazy, it'll drive everybody around us crazy. What does it really look like to trust in the Lord with all of our lives? Trust in the Lord and allow Him to be in control. Well, it means that, as I said a few moments ago, if it's not ours to control, then we shouldn't try to control it. It means that we learn to jump into, or we learn to fall into, or we learn to crawl into the arms of God and know that when we are there, we find safety. It means to let go of our concerns and worries about tomorrow and about the future, because the fact of the matter is that God's already there. God's already in our tomorrows. God's already in our next week. God's already there, according to Matthew chapter 6. It means that we care enough about our friends and our families and our neighbors and our fellow workers who live life far from God, that we're always looking for some moment in time that we can live Jesus in front of them. We can speak Jesus into their lives. And that we don't have to force it. That we can trust that the Holy Spirit will open up a door. And then that when the Holy Spirit opens the door, we are bold enough to walk through the door. Someone has said it's as simple as this. Our job is to cast out the bait. It's God's job to catch them and to clean them. Trusting in the Lord means to let go of our bent to control and manipulate our families and our friends and our church. And instead of manipulating and controlling, how about we just thank God for all of those things? Thank God for the good. Thank God for the bad. Thank God for the ugly. And trust Him that He's got it worked out. Keep praying for our friends and our family and our church to be drawn to God's grace and God's mercy. It means, trusting in the Lord means to know that our careers and our personal finances are a big deal and have been given to us to control. God's way. We work, we earn, we save, and we give. That's what Wesley said. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. That's a pretty good formula. Because in the end, we know that when we are faithful and generous, that God will keep His promises to supply all of our needs, not necessarily our wants, but all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Trust in the Lord. But then there's a second question that comes to my mind for us to think about this morning, is how do I navigate this whole heart thing? How do I make sure that I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart? You see, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good sometimes at giving God bits and pieces. Does that fit with anybody? I mean, there are certain places in my heart and in my life that I say, hey, God, you got full run of this, but you know that part over there? I don't want to hang on to that. Let me just take care of that over there. You know, I'll deal with that piece over there. You control the big stuff and you do all those good things, and I want to hang on to this little part over here. Does that fit anybody this morning? You don't have to raise a hand or nod your head. But we're pretty good at giving God the leftovers after we've done everything we can do to try to find happiness, to try to find peace, to try to find fulfillment in life, to try to find excitement. In fact, there was a book that was written by Robert Munger, My Heart, Christ's Home. And in this book, it's a great book, but in the book, he describes our hearts as having different rooms like a house. And some of those we are open to letting God come in and enjoy the fireplace and the living room. That's cool, God, you come on in. That's awesome. We'd love to have you in the living room. Come and do that. Hey, God, you can even come in the kitchen if you want to. That's a cool place to go. You can go hang out in the bathroom if you want to. Nothing, no problem there. But listen, God, there's a third bedroom over there. Kind of our junk room. And it's a mess. That's where I keep the junk in my life. And God, I don't want you in that room. That's really off limits to you. Or we have a closet. And we got all kinds of stuff in that closet we don't want God seeing. And we say, okay, God, you can have the run of the house except for the closet. I don't want you there either. The point is that God longs to dwell in our hearts, our whole heart. Every room, even those rooms that are dirty and dusty and need to be cleaned up, that, after all, is God's specialty. Cleaning up. Cleaning us up. The point of this, with your whole heart, that the proverb talks about, is to surrender all that we are, our whole heart, to God first. Let Him be in control. Trust Him that His ways are indeed higher than our ways. Believe him when he says that he desires what's best for us. Believe him when he says that he is for us. Trust in the Lord with all of my heart. But it leaves us still another question. What's it look like to submit to him? What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that mean to submit to him in everything that we do? And listen, this might be the most difficult piece of all. How do we come to that place of letting go and letting God? What does it look like for you and me to step back and say, God, I don't know how this is all going to turn out. I don't know. But I want to be able to trust you with all of my heart. I want to submit my life to you. I want to submit my plans to you. I want to submit my family to you, my job to you, our future to you, our church to you. I want to put all that stuff into the hands of God. And know that that's really his job to work it out. To fully acknowledge him simply means to surrender and submit everything to God. And truly trust him to be in control of every situation. It means that we can trust God, that God will work in us and through us for his will to be accomplished, for his pleasure, for his purpose. And Jesus is a perfect example of what it means to submit to God. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. And by himself, he was hungry. He was, he was spent physically. And in that moment of weakness, who comes to him? Satan comes to him. And Satan says, hey, Jesus, look, since you're the Son of God, how about, since you're so hungry, I mean, you've been 40 days without eating, Jesus. I mean, how about this? How about, Jesus, how about you turn those stones into bread? Jesus had to choose. He was tempted. He was tempted by the wealth of the world. He had to choose. He was tempted. He was tempted to test the watch care of God on his life. When the devil said, hey, Jesus, listen, if you're really the Messiah, then hey, just jump off the peak of this temple and God will catch you on the way down. He had to choose. And in every one of those instances, he chose to surrender. He chose to surrender and submit to all that God had in mind for him as the Savior of all the world. So it comes down to this. We too have to choose. We too must choose. Surrender or control? We have to choose His way or our way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. And He'll make your path straight. So what's our choice today? What do we choose?
God.
Thank you, Chuck. I want to ask you to do this. I want to just ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads, and I want you to listen to the words of this song that Scott and Matt are going to do, and choose His way or your way.